Lord Jesus Christ, you are the Lamb of God, and you are the Lion of Judah. And we thank you that by your Spirit, you will enable us to return to the heart of worship, that we might live freely, and we might be courageous, faithful witnesses of such a great King. In your mighty name, amen. It's wonderful to be with you, 9 a.m. congregation. Second Sunday of this new year, I am absolutely blessed to see new faces and to hear new voices lead the parts of the service. I understand Deaconess Bessie is away in Cambodia. I just want to rejoice with her, because when you have new people taking different parts of the service, it means that we are growing, and that indeed is God's great purpose for us, that we might grow as his children. I want to begin this morning by asking you to think about when you set forth on a journey. I'm sure all of us have had the opportunity, or most of us maybe, have had the opportunity of going overseas. And so when you set forth on a journey, I believe there's a question that all of us ask. You may not ask it orally, but I'm sure you run it through your mind. What question do you ask before you go out for an overseas journey? Do I have everything I need, right? Do I have everything I need? So, of course, this question, everything, if you're a young parent, that's quite a large list of things, because you got to get things for all the young children and so forth. So most of us trim down the question, do I have what is necessary? That's what happens to me as I leave the house to go on an overseas trip, or when I'm coming back, when I'm leaving the place that I've been at to come back just before I go to the airport or railway station or whatever. Do I have what is necessary? For me, it boils down to five things. It has, well, passport, right? You need the passport, and then you need your wallet. You need the handphone these days, I think, with all the numbers that you have. And then I have this favorite pen that it sort of helps me to get on with business. It's one of those things. And then there's the Bible. So those are the five things, finally, when I sort of leave the house. Yeah, the rest are, if you like, dispensable. You can make do, you can replace, etc. But these five things are necessary. Now, it won't surprise me that some of you, or several of you, are conscious, as 2018 starts, that you're setting out on a journey. There's a distinct part of your life that has started. You're on a distinct journey and you're conscious of it in the year 2018. It can be triggered by different things. It can be triggered by something at home, childbirth, or it can be triggered by something in the office, or it can be triggered by something in terms of your spiritual aspiration. But you know something has begun. I need to just let you know briefly that something has begun for the Church of God in Singapore. I believe it. We'll unpack it more with you as the weeks go by. But the church in Singapore, that's all the different denominations and all, the Lord has prepared something for us. We're going to experience his rulership like never before. It's going to be very distinct. And part of that is that he's bringing in a mighty harvest. I'm so glad that you are regular in the way you reach out to others. And Alpha is such a wonderful instrument. And God is promising us, I believe, taking us on a journey that will lead to a mighty harvest. And we're planning something for the year 2019. So together with your vicar and Deaconess Bessie and others, we'll share this with you as the year progresses. But now I want to ask you, actually, in the top right-hand corner of your bulletin, if you just glance at your bulletin, top right-hand corner, this journey that the church is on begins with the year of prayer. Begins 2018 as the year of prayer. And that allows me now to say to you, the one thing you need for your journey. Think of 2018 and you have a distinct journey in front of you. Some of you, the journey has started because you've lost your job or something has happened. But don't be disheartened. God is God of the journey. So it doesn't matter where you are starting. The important thing now is, do you have what is needed? That's my topic. What is needed for the journey? And what is needed for the journey is the tent of meeting. Israel was also on a journey. So if I may, would you turn to Exodus 33, which was our Old Testament reading. Exodus 33, 7 to 11. It's always good, my friends, to have the Bible open in front of you so that as you hear the Word of God, you can also glance at the text. Israel is on a journey from Egypt to the promised land. It's going to be a long journey. And we are told in Exodus chapter 33, verse 7, now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp. He would habitually do this wherever they go and they break and set up their tents to stay for a while. He would go and pitch this tent outside the camp. The Word of God says, far off from the camp, signaling perhaps that God is holy. There is a sacred space and we can't just presume to run in because He is absolute light. Far away, He pitches this tent and He calls it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. The tent of meeting. And everyone, it's not just for Moses, but everyone who seeks the Lord will go out to the tent of meeting and there would have face-to-face communion. That's what we read in verse 11. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. So you can see it is a personal time of communion. You know, in the garden, I come to the garden alone. Some of you know this song. While the dew is still on the roses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am not alone. The tent of meeting for us is not a physical tent. It's the place of secret devotion. Are you with me, friends? It's the place where you meet God one-on-one, person to person. Some call it I-thou relationship. You're very alive that God is a person, I and thou, meeting together. And that's the one thing you and I need for the journey. That we have this place of secret devotion where we meet with God. Now the way into this place is through the Word, because that's how God revealed Himself. So, by reading Holy Scripture, just taking a passage, many of us have a guide, we are beginning to listen to God. And then there is prayer. So in this tent of meeting, it's not a touch and go one. Is it all right? You're there and He talks with you and you talk with Him. That's prayer. And all this is done very often in an atmosphere of praise and adoration. And that's what this service also is. This service is a tent of meeting. All of us assembled with praise, adoration, lifting the name of our God, now hearing His word and praying. And that's the tent of meeting. that you and I need. We have different scripts, my friends. God is the Lord of your journey. And he wants you to take the one thing that is needed. And it's this time and place of communion. Now, as I describe what some of us call quiet time, time alone with God, one-on-one. Sometimes we think it is a sort of, you know, a set-apart place, locked door, and so forth. I want to say to you, we are built differently. So for tent of meeting, for me, often it's word, maybe a cup of tea, time for prayer, and I'm often walking. I'm walking in the park or by the seaside, and I'm talking with God and letting him talk with me. I have a friend in our office. He does the same. So he hears, reads the word, and then his tent of meeting is while he's jogging. Are you with me? While he is jogging, he is talking with the Lord. So I don't want you to be locked in that it is very sedate, you know. We have different ways. The important thing is that you meet with God daily. And it's unhurried time, and it's one-to-one, face-to-face. So I want now to share with you three things. Many things happen in the tent of meeting. Meeting with God face-to-face as a man speaks with his friend, right? That's what Christ has secured for us. Now, many things happen. I just highlight three. First, it's the place where you are restored. So the sermon outline is also in your bulletin. And you may want to have that open before you. So in the tent of meeting, it's the place where you are restored, where brokenness is healed. Because life in this world can be tough. And we can be broken. We can be broken by the wounds. We are wounded in this world by things that happen to us. And we are wounded also sometimes by our own failures. We are wounded by we are convicted of sin. How come I'm still so rotten? You can be wounded by that. And the tent of meeting is where you are loved by God, forgiven by God, and your wounds are healed. And you have that in what happened to Simon Peter in John 21, which was our New Testament reading. So in John 21, Simon Peter, there is a shadow over his soul, no? I mean, Jesus is resurrected, he's met with the Lord, but he can't really get going, and the Lord knows it, because he has failed the Lord, you see. He had denied the Lord three times, do you remember? So when Jesus is asking him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he asked him three times. Actually, what is happening is Jesus is saying, and I love you, even though you have failed. And you know what, Simon? I love you enough to reinstate you. Because you're the one that I'm going to call to be an under-shepherd. Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. That's what Jesus does as the great shepherd. So when the Lord receives you back, he receives you back fully. Are you with me? It's not a qualified, half-hearted, you know. When you come into the tent of meeting, he's there waiting for you with his healing grace. And that's what Simon Peter experienced. So in a bruising world, we all get bruised and wounded. This is the place we are restored. This is also the place where our strength is renewed. Because it can be tiring coping with life. And we can be exhausted. But here in the tent of meeting, he opens up streams of living water. There are times in life we can be overwhelmed with fear. And who can help us overcome our deepest fears but the Lord, who has conquered life and death? So in the tent of meeting, he settles your fears. He tells you, I am with you. There are gifts and graces I have given you. Don't believe what people are saying. I have a purpose for you. Get your self-definition from the voice of knowledge and love. He knows you fully. So strength is renewed. Of course, there are times too we lose our way, you know. We are not so sure-footed. And so in this time, God strengthens us. Yes, this is the way. Go forward. Go with it. I'm giving you strength to go on. So it's the place where you are restored. Secondly, it's the place where you are recentered. Because life is such, so many things happen, and our mind is also following so many things, we can get out of shape. We can lose the center where we are steady, focused, and purposeful. So we are out of shape. We're doing a lot of things, but it's lacking shape and direction. There is the reality of the pressure of many decisions and expectations. That's life on the road. So there are many decisions to be made, and then there are expectations on you. Because if your life is anything like mine, then there are roles you have to play. Your office requires something of you. The church requires something of you. Your family, if you have elderly parents, that's also pressing upon you. And you can be pulled apart in so many directions. And with our schedules these days, yeah, you can hardly breathe. Just moving from one thing to another. When you have many, many choices to make, and you know, perhaps things are not so clear, then you may be tempted to choose your own way, make your own decision. You can be hasty, right? Okay, you take your life back into your hands, just make a decision and go. In Moses's case, I just draw your attention. Moses, as he begins to spend time in the tent of meeting, he learns to pray in verse 13, "If I found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways." So the tent of meeting is where we get recentered, where we take our direction and we take our responsibilities from the Lord. Life is complex and increasingly so. So you know that, you know, it's not going to get simpler. The demands on life and the things that impinge on you call for your attention. There's a lot of information overload. And so one writer says that in this scenario, the problem is not the complexity of life. The writer is Thomas Kelly. He says the problem is not that so many things impinge on you and there's so many expectations on you. The problem is you don't have a single deep center. You don't have a simplified within. That's why you get irritable and you get disoriented and so forth, because you have no center. And so in his words, we need to find this deep center of living, which is God. We need to find God at the center, this deep center of living, where the fretful calls of life are integrated, where no as well as yes can be said with equal confidence. No as well as yes can be said with equal confidence because you are hearing from God. You're asking God, this responsibility is being thrust on me. Someone's asked, this request is being made of me. Should I say yes or should I say no? But you have a divine center. Tent of meeting, you're learning to hear God. We are learning, you see. We don't all get it perfect, but we're learning. And God is revealing to us. And once we know this is what God is saying, we can say yes or no with equal confidence. I tell you something that came to my attention recently. Several of you are in small groups. They call connect groups right here, okay, in the cathedral. So here's a person in the small group. Now, this person actually has a ministry in the church. So she and her husband have a ministry in another area of the church, but they are part of the connect group. Now, the connect group leader, of course, is thinking about developing people as well and engaging people. So now the connect group leader asks this person to take on a new responsibility in the cell group. And the person knows that the cell leader is well-meaning. Are you sure? You know what I mean, right? And of course, well-meaning people, they are very persuasive. And they're not easy to say no to, right? So now she's feeling pressured. So pressured, she's thinking of changing connect group. It happens, right? Because, you know, for those of us who are sort of very good managers in Singapore, sometimes we carry the same style over into church, you know? Right, yeah, in the office we manage, we allocate. So when we talk to people, of course, I do believe now, we want the best for them. But we come across in this management style, the poor person doesn't know what to do. Now, what did her pastor tell her? So now she's thinking maybe change cell group. What does the pastor tell her? The pastor tells her, the problem is not the connect group or the connect group leader. The problem is you don't have a divine center. Because if you have a divine center, you can handle the pressure. Are you with me, friends? It's not the person asking you things. That's not where the problem is. The problem is you learning from God what He requires of you. And there are sometimes seasons in your life where in another season you may have taken it on, but in this season, there are many things already on your plate. So don't get pressurized by expectations. Learn to go to the divine center. Something else about the divine center, you know, we are returning. So when you come to the tent of meeting, you come back to the center, you see. And there's another aspect of this center. What are you living for? You know, all our lives get cluttered because the world has shining status symbols of success. It's a fact. People know if you are being promoted. People know if you are upgrading your housing. People know what school your children are going to. So there's this constant pressure to work for these rewards. And then we get driven. We feel oppressed and we become oppressive. You know, it's a sad state of affairs. It's not life in all its fullness. But Jesus is restoring us to the center by bringing us back to the tent of meeting. Because when you come to the tent of meeting, it's an opportunity to say, all that matters is God's pleasure. But we miss it, no? If you don't have that, yeah, you will be a puppet on a string. Because we will always work for the reward we want. The prize you want is what will drive you. But all other prizes leave us finally exhausted and somewhat cheated. But not the pleasure of God. There's a lovely contemporary song called I Simply Live For You. I simply live for you. And when that becomes the central criteria, you know, life is simplified. I do all that I do, not for earthly rewards and not for men's praise. There's a lot, we are trapped by vainglory, you know, to show we are better than the other or we are preferred to the other. We're set free and we live for God and we live as the free children of God. So that's the second thing that happens in the tent of meeting. First, you are restored. It's a place where you're restored. Secondly, it's a place where you are recentered. You come back to the center. Thirdly, it's a place where you are transfigured. You are transfigured. This word means you are changed from inside out. You are changed by the glory of God. That's what Moses encountered. So he's meeting God, and we read that when he enters the tent, verse 9, the pillar of cloud, this is the pillar of God's presence. The cloud represents God's dwelling glory, you know. So the cloud comes at the entrance of the tent. And Moses, beholding his glory, his face shines. You can read that in Exodus 34. His face now shines, shimmers, you know, because he's been in the presence of God, shimmers with the glory. He will come out and he will tell the people what God has told them. And then he would put a veil. He would put a veil because the shining light would perhaps distract or intimidate people. You know, so he'd put a veil. But he'd also put a veil because the glory would fade over time. And the only time he removes the veil is when he returns to the tent. He goes back to the tent to meet with God. Then he removes the veil and he meets with God. Now, I need to let you know this verse. So please, would you turn to 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Word of God says, for those who have come to Jesus Christ, verse 18, and we all with unveiled face. He's comparing it with the Old Covenant and with Moses. We all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So, beloved, it's amazing when we say, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. This is what God has accomplished for us. We're coming back to the heart of worship. We come to the tent of meeting. In our own quiet time, we behold His glory. He reveals His glory. All this comes from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit plows up our heart. When you're fearful of God, you'll run from the glory. But He plows up our heart. He assures us of our forgiveness, and we are with God. We behold His glory. And Paul is rejoicing. We, when we behold God's glory, we are being changed into His likeness from glory to glory. Don't give up on your Christian life. I know there are times you feel, I can never change. It's the best that can happen, you know, and that's it. Don't, because when you're at the tent of meeting, His glory transforms you. We're being changed into His likeness. All of us have our battles with bitterness, jealousy, truthfulness, etc. But we are being changed into the likeness of the Son of God. And unlike Moses, the glory fades, you see, over time. But for us, we are being changed from one degree of glory to another. And now, in new covenant terms, where is the glory of God best seen? The glory of God is best seen on the cross. Because that's where we see God in all His glory, pouring out His love for us. It's the cross, you see, that shows us how great is His love for a wretch like me. that he was willing to be wounded and crucified, to absorb the poison, no? To be deformed by the punishment of sin in order that we might live. And he's conquered it. So when I say cross, I include resurrection. By his cross and resurrection, we behold his glory. Now picture with me, huh? So now you're in the tent of meeting. You're not left to your own imagination about who God is. God has spoken, has revealed himself through his written word and through his incarnate word, through Jesus Christ. We see God through Christ, right? And we see him crucified and risen. Jesus Messiah, you know. And when you behold his glory, what happens is you embrace the cross. You embrace the life of the cross, which is death to self, service to others, love for God. That's what happens in the tent of meeting. But it's the crucified life is not easy. So when we say, okay, serve others, whether in Singapore, Batam, wherever, but a life of service has its own strains and stresses and disappointments. But how do you keep on living the crucified life? You can't without the tent of meeting. After a while, we all take our life back into our own hands and manage on our own. But we miss the best things God has for us. I want you to know this, friends. Without secret devotion, we miss the sweetness and power of God. I'll say it again. Without secret devotion, we miss the sweetness and power of God in a fallen, broken, bitter world. We need this tent of meeting. We need it for the journey. That's when we die to ourselves. I'm living for you, Lord. Yeah. That's when his pleasure and glory fill in. So I share this with you first. Why this tent of meeting is necessary for the journey we are on. And we are on a journey as a church. More of that in the weeks to come. Now I have to ask you, how are you going to experience the tent of meeting? Because you can see this, right? Tent of meeting means attentive listening. Am I right? It's not rushed, you know. It's not mechanical. It's Lord, thou and I at the table, you know. And we're talking things over. And I'm bearing my soul. And you are revealing your heart to me. So it's that kind. It's intimate and it needs time. So now I have to suggest for us to experience the tent of meeting encounter, I suggest two things. One is restore early morning devotion. Restore early morning devotion. I say this although I know some of us are not morning people. But because of the pattern in Scripture, I feel I must pass it on to you. Because early morning is when we meet God before we meet the world. Are you all right? And we need it because the world comes hard and panting. David says in Psalm 57, I will awaken the dawn. Because of the crisis in his life, Psalm 57, he has to run because Saul wants to destroy him. Some of us face that in everyday life. People at the office or people even in your family are seeking to rob you or destroy you. Where do you run? You run to God in the tent of meeting. David runs to the tent of meeting and then his heart is steadied and then he says, I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you because you're my strength. You're my deliverer. I will awaken the dawn. At dawn, most of us are asleep. Is that not true? It's I'm growing in it. So I'm not here as someone who has conquered. I just want to ask you to join me in this journey to reestablish early morning devotion. Early will I seek thee. You see it also in our Lord's practice in Mark chapter 1. After a tiring night of ministry, he's up in the morning to seek the Lord to know what's the next step. So we need it. Now I've got good news for you. The Bible also says he wakens me morning by morning to listen like one being taught. He wakens me. Because getting up in the morning for prayer is difficult. I pass you some words from E.M. Bounds, Power Through Prayer. Listen to this. Praying is spiritual work, and human nature does not like taxing spiritual work. Human nature wants to sail to heaven under a pleasant breeze and a full, smooth sea. It's true, right? We all want to have this new life, transformed life, sail to heaven on a smooth breeze. But praying is spiritual work, and our nature is against it. So join me in the fight with the pillow. Because when you want to wake up, you chances are the pillow will say you need a bit more rest. You need a bit more, you know. It's a common battle. But God is on our side. So I'm not just relying on human resolve. I'm relying on God's promise. If you desire to rebuild, he will help you. Well, let's be humble enough to start small. Start half an hour before your normal wake-up time, you know. Just give him the half hour. I find it's all right to have a hot drink. Just helps to wake up the senses, to begin to read the Word of God and to praise him. And once you're connected with him, a whole new world opens. It's amazing. He prepares a fresh breakfast every morning. It's amazing. It's a banquet. But sadly, many of us don't show up regularly. So that's the first. Resume or restore early morning worship. The second, how to experience the end of meeting. Restrict mobile technology. It's true, friends. I am with you. You know, I habitually will go into my left pocket and flip out the handphone. It's become a mode of living. I want to confess that to you because I need to take deliberate measures to restrict mobile technology. I'll share with you very quickly. Firstly, at night when I finished, I put my phone on airplane mode. I put my phone on airplane mode because I use my handphone as an alarm. And I'm finding if I don't put on airplane mode in the morning when I turn off the alarm, what is hitting me? All the messages and the news bulletins, right? Once it hits me, it impinges my mind like a billiard ball, no? It will move because you have just got some information, you see. So I find I have to put it on airplane mode so that I can rest and so that my first thought can be guarded. I have to guard my secret devotion so that I can hear him because I'm in a mode of living. Secondly, I pray you will also find a Sabbath rest. Lay people with working lives, you need to find somewhere half a day or a full day where you are alone with God. You're enjoying God. You're not a machine. So he's restoring you. You're enjoying him, your family perhaps, recreation perhaps. You're being replenished. The only way I can guard my off day is to give my handphone to my wife. Because otherwise, it's habitual. I will, you know, and inevitably there will be urgent things. Thankfully, I have a powerful wife who can override urgent things. It's good you have people to, you know, to assess, discern. Because the world is always clamoring for your attention. I just want to join you in the battle because it's worth keeping the tent of meeting. I finish with this very last verse in the section we read, Exodus 33, verse 11. What does it say? Exodus 33, verse 11 says, after Moses met with the Lord face to face, second part of verse 11, when Moses turned again into the camp, so now he has to go into the day's duties, right? You can picture it, right? I've been at a tent of meeting, I've met with God, now I have to return to the real world and to my day's duties. It says Moses turned again into the camp. His assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the camp. And I leave you now with this picture. When you enter the tent of meeting, that's where to start the day. You go into the rest of the day, you go into the world, you go into all your relationships from within the veil, from being with God, out of the tent of meeting, to all these projects you are working on, to the boss who one day wants A, the next day wants B. You go into all that with the peace of God and the assurance of God, because Christ is with you, right? You enter the day out of the presence. You live out of the presence. But don't forget Joshua, because I think here is a special picture. You never leave the tent of meeting. Both are true. Only the Holy Spirit can make it real. You've been with him in the tent of meeting, and you emerge into the rest of the day, but you linger in the tent of meeting. It's always with you. He's only a prayer away. So you can begin to talk to him on the MRT and in the midst of a meeting and so forth. Once you're tuned in, you can always hear him through the day. You never leave the tent of meeting. 2018 is the year of prayer for the church. It begins with the tent of meeting. There are many things about prayer, but today I have the opportunity now to invite you to rebuild the tent of meeting. Because the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God, he is there to restore you, to strengthen you, to center you, to send you out. Would you stand with me? Invite Sasha and the team to come as you hear the word of God this morning. Would you close your eyes for a moment? Father, I ask that this will be a very special moment where we hear you calling us. You're calling us to the tent of meeting, Lord. Several of us have neglected it. The tent is in ruins. We're running on empty. We're missing the sweetness and the power. But early in 2018, through your word, you're speaking. This is where we are made. This is where we are transfigured. This is where we become ready for the Master's use. So I ask now, Lord, as we sing this song, let the desire take root. We're returning to the heart of worship. We're coming back to the tent of meeting. Come, Holy Spirit.